Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, family. Welcome to SOAR with Dr. Stephanie Brown on WPGR Network. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for all of the support that you have shown me over the past month or so that I've been doing this show. For those of you who may not know me, I am a life coach and a physician, and I'm here to use my voice to help sisters overcome and rise. And I love that I get to do this by discussing relevant topics and struggles that we encounter in our lives with a focus on how we can overcome them by transforming limiting beliefs into living our best lives. I'll be taking calls later, so if you want to join the discussion later, you can press 1 to be added to the call queue. And when I call out, caller, are you there? Just introduce yourself with your first name. So tonight you are in for a real treat, because our topic is reinvent yourself. It's never too late to create your absolute best self. Have you ever wanted a do-over? I know sometimes I wish that I could go behind a door, take off my glasses, shake my hair out, and do a little twirl, and reemerge on the other side in a completely different outfit, maybe even with a completely different body, but most importantly, with more strength, confidence, and power as Diana Prince 2.0, or AKA Wonder Woman. I think I could really get into wrapping a lasso around my kids and getting them to tell the absolute truth and being able to repel bullets of criticism and sexism with graceful movements of my arms and wrists. But seriously, sometimes we reach a point in our life where we realize that things are not going as well as we thought they would, and we just want to change it up. I may be giving away my age here, but in my generation, we were always told you get a good education, you start your career, or you find a good job, and then you retire, and that's when you enjoy life. Retirement would be so good and rewarding that it was well worth putting off any pleasure beforehand to obtain the holy grail of unlimited travel, cruises every month, and sunshine every day, or at least that's how I interpreted it. I don't remember any advice about what if you want to do something different or change careers. That was just not part of the equation. What if retirement isn't guaranteed? Or who's to say I'll live long enough to retire? The only way you veered off the path is if you had what was known as the shameful midlife crisis, where you realized you had more life behind you than in front of you, so you better get to living it. And then you went out and did crazy things like buying a Corvette or having an affair. And come to think about it, it was really just men who did that. Women didn't even have that out. What I really love about millennials, and when I watch my nephew and my millennial cousins, is that they don't wait until midlife. They may change their career, they may change their city at the drop of a hat, and they don't need anyone's permission to do it. they really make the motto carpe diem come to life. Sometimes it's not even about you going along the path and deciding that you want something different. Sometimes you may be enjoying your life just the way it is. You're going along just fine, and then life hits you like a ton of bricks with a divorce or a job loss or the loss of a loved one or a major illness are in need of a reset, a way to get your groove back. There are really many reasons and many times throughout our lives that we might want to reinvent ourselves. So why is it so hard to do? I think it's just human nature to resist change. Change is never easy, but it is often necessary. Sometimes we have to reach a place of severe discomfort before we're ready to take that leap into the unknown. For me, I knew I wanted to be a doctor since I was 9 years old. So when I got to the point that I knew I wanted to do something different, it was incredibly difficult to get over the guilt of leaving this lifelong pursuit behind. Or even if I didn't leave it behind, sort of pushing it to the back burner. On the one hand, I knew I only had one life to live, so I needed to do things I wanted to do in this one life. But on the other hand, I was afraid to disappoint those who had sacrificed to get me to this place in my career. And I really had to deal with my own fears. And it's those fears within us that are usually the biggest hurdles to overcome. Some of my fears were, what if I can't build my business? What if I fail? What will people think about me? All of the what ifs, which is basically another name for limiting beliefs. Or that inner script that we have. And sometimes it requires us to rewrite that inner script in order to be able to reinvent ourselves. One of the things that really helped me to shift was when I realized that I could not focus on all of the things that I would lose by giving up being a full-time physician, but I had to focus on all of the things that I would gain by being an entrepreneur and a business owner and a life coach. And once I was able to take my focus off of what I would lose and put it on what I would gain, easy after that. There was this one quote that I read that I think is very powerful and very fitting for this discussion. And the quote is, there is no statute of limitations on starting over. Reinvent yourself every day. Be the girl who walks barefoot and listens to blues. Tomorrow, wear a trench coat and speak fierce truths. Be a phoenix. Be ashes. Burn down. Resurrect. Let go of the idea that you must always be what you have always been. And that quote was written by Anonymous. It seems like some of the best ones are written by Anonymous. But that quote really speaks to me, and I think it's very powerful. So my next guest is going to lead us into a very powerful discussion about reinventing ourselves. Because as we can see from the quote, we should always be in the process of reinventing ourselves. So I want to introduce my guest, Dr. Diana Lake. She is an emergency medicine physician. She's a best-selling author, a speaker, life coach, an autism parent advocate, and founder of Dr. Die Fit Life. Using her clinical experience as an emergency medicine physician and her knowledge and passion as a fitness and wellness coach, Dr. Die promotes a holistic approach to disease prevention, healthy living, fitness, weight loss, self-care, longevity, and overall wellness. So let's welcome Dr. Die.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stephanie.
Happy to be here.
How are you?
I am well. I'm well. Thank you.
Great. And thank you for joining us. I know a lot of people reached out and said that they were pretty excited about this conversation. One of the things that I, when I thought about this topic and I thought about you, I remember when we used to work together, and you decided to leave that job. And one of the reasons you told me was that you couldn't control your schedule in order to fit the needs of your children.
And that really resonated with me because I have left several jobs for that very reason. So I wanted to ask you, when you left that job, did you know what you were going to do next?
Girl, no. No. So the exodus from there, it was just so many things happening. And it's a great question. It was so many things happening in my life at that time. So what is this, 2016 we're talking about, that, you know, I just had to make a decision based on what was most important to me. And you know how you get into different phases of life where you have to decide, look, you're at a fork, you're at a dichotomy here. You have to choose one or the other. And that was that turning point for me at that point. My son was getting, you know, his autism therapy. And a big part of why I took the job was we got that huge bonus, right? And the huge sign-on bonus I really needed, because at the time when my son Tom was diagnosed with autism, there was no insurance coverage for the treatment. So before Obama passed the Rehabilitative Care Act in 2014, he was diagnosed a little over a year before that, and his therapy was $1,380 a month for his ABA therapy.
Wow.
Cash. When I took that job, I took the job in 2013, right when he was going through all of the, you know, the tests to figure out what was going on with him. And I was like, you know what? I know this is what it is already. We had not labeled it yet, but I knew he was going to be on the spectrum. And I knew there was going to be a ton of money to be spent for his therapy. And that bonus that came with that job offer was just perfect timing. So I took it because I knew I would need the extra cash for my son. So that's the, you know, sort of backstory to that. But then fast forward 3.5 years, we're at the end of 2016, and I'm seeing that, you know, I'm doing 18 shifts a month. You know, our schedule's coming out like 2 weeks before the month begins. And, you know, I
remember
really
that.
Yes. And I'm like, I can't structure my life around this. You know, I have to be at therapy sessions. I want to be different places. And of course, you know, at that point, I had gone through my divorce. It's been probably 2 years since the divorce at that point. And I had this bug for starting my fitness and coaching business. But I was told at the time from our job that fitness and wellness was a non-compete. So for some of you guys who don't know what non-compete clause is, if you have a job where there's a non-compete clause, you cannot do anything in that same industry for X number of years. You know, some of the clauses will even put a radius around where you can work. After you leave that job, you cannot work within, you know, a certain radius and things like that. So the non-compete basically, the non-compete basically said I couldn't see patients on my own, you know, while still being a full-time physician with that company. And so my thing was, I'm doing weights and I'm doing weight loss and I'm doing, you know, I'm not seeing patients. I don't have an ER. I don't have a clinic.
Right.
I'm not doing, you know, I'm not doing that kind of work. It seems completely different to me, but it was still under quote unquote wellness. And so that made it a non-compete. And so for me, the question then was, do I stay here, you know, and stay another 3 years to fulfill my 7-year obligation for the bonus that I got, right?
Right.
You have to stay for 7 years. If you stayed for 7 years, then you didn't have to pay the money back, the bonus, the forgivable loan that you got. So I had to really, you know, figure out all of that and say, do I stay here, not start my business, regret it later, because maybe I'm 4 or 5 years older when I started, and maybe I just don't have as much energy. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I knew I was ready to start now. And I had to really make that decision to say, look, this is not working for the structure of my family.
I'm not spending enough time with my kids. I'm not present for their, you know, therapy sessions and the things I want to be present for as a parent. Not only that, this is not working out very well for me starting my business.
Right.
So
and
I really have
really
to
interesting.
All of that. Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting that you bring that up because I think a lot of times, I know when I work with people coaching them and they want to make a change, one of the fears is always finances. And, you know, how do they make this change when they're giving up this secure guaranteed salary and go to something that's not secure? But you figured it out even with having to pay that loan back, because I know that loan was like an albatross on my back that I was like, I have to get through these 7 years to make sure that that loan is taken care of.
Yeah.
So kudos to
and
you. That was you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I paid them back in 2 years, and I shocked myself. It was like a noose around my neck, you know, like, okay, I can't leave because I would have to pay this huge amount of money back. I mean, we're not talking $10,000, $20,000. This was enormous amount of money to pay back.
Right.
And I, you know, but then I thought again, like you just said in the intro, you know, when you were talking, the fear that keeps you staying where you are or the benefit that you could get and all the gains you could get from leaving. I really had mm-hmm. to weigh them and say, you know what? The possibilities are endless with me starting
right.
my company and with me having
right.
autonomy with my schedule and with me traveling and doing whatever I want to do with my free time and not be, you know, sort of have this around my ankle, you know, just holding me. Oh, you can't work. You can't be off Christmas because you were off last Christmas. Oh, you can't do that
right.
because, you know, all of these parameters around my ability to serve a community. You know, that
Absolutely.
Was not my, yeah, that was not my vision when I became a physician, that it would be so restrictive and, you know, there would just be so many things that would prevent me from having autonomy. Autonomy was a big part of me deciding to be a doctor. I really wanted that freedom, you know,
yeah.
freedom to travel,
yeah.
freedom to have, you know, a business that I'm my own boss. You know, I really wanted that time freedom as well to be able to serve if I wanted to travel to Africa. I'm West African, you know, if I wanted to do a mission trip, you know, that I could just do it. You know,
yeah.
and I found myself in this situation where that was not the case. Once you got out of school, the traditional mindset for most doctors is, oh, I work for a hospital. But you don't have
right.
to. But no one tells you that in medical school, you know. I feel that one of my things about medical school is they don't teach us enough about business.
Absolutely
you know,
not.
They don't tell us. Yeah, they don't tell us how to run our business when we become a physician. They don't tell us all the other opportunities that are out there. You could literally go into media, you know, like Sanjay Gupta. Look at what he's doing right now.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah, that wasn't
yeah.
one of the courses in medical school. And when you're talking, that's really what comes across is freedom and how you fully embrace the concept of freedom. I find that most people feel when you're a physician that you're supposed to practice medicine, you know, for your entire career until you retire. And I've always had issues with that assumption because I've seen other people switch careers and reinvent themselves. But I didn't feel that society gave me the same freedom to reinvent myself.
Right.
Was there anything specific that you allowed you to give yourself permission to follow your dreams?
Yes, it was thinking about what if I don't do this? What is my life going to look like
mm-hmm.
if I continue on this trajectory?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is what I tell my,
yeah.
my clients, you know, people that I'm doing discovery calls with for working with me. I said, look, what would happen to you if you stayed on the course you're on right now? And I had to ask myself that question. What would my happiness, what would that look like? You know, what would it
Absolutely.
Look like knowing that I could be a force that can change people's lives, you know, literally in 3 or 4 months of working with them, we can literally transform their lives and create something that, you know, is beautiful, something that they can actually get up every morning and feel like, wow, this is the life I was meant to live. I knew in me I had that ability to change other people outside of the emergency department. And that was in coaching for health, wellness, fitness, menopause, like all those things. I knew that, but I can't do that in the ER. I had to step away and create something different. And so the thought to me was, what would my life look like if I knew I had this gift and I never shared it?
Yes.
How would I feel?
Yes.
20 years, 15 years from now, just staying on course, I would not be happy with myself. So I bit the bullet. I was like, look, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to create a team. I'm going to talk to people who've done something, you know, along this line, you know, and see where they failed, learn from their failure. Maybe they can give me some tips so I don't have to have those same pitfalls, you know, and just piece together what is missing, what I know I need help with, and be okay getting the help.
Yeah, yeah. That's great, because as I was sort of watching you from afar, as you build your business, I was just thinking, wow, you know, she's just doing her thing, and she's just amazing, and it really gave me courage to take little steps to know that I could do it as well. And you've really been consistent. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I was curious about the steps that you took. So you said that you reached out and you found people who had done things similar. Were there any other specific steps that you took to kind of build your brand and build your business?
Yeah. So the thing is, while building my business, there were other things going on in my life. So, you know, I was still recovering from my father passing away from diabetes. And, you know, so I was dealing with that. And I was newly divorced. You know, I have two special needs children, so I'm managing them, co-parenting, you know, and then starting to do independent contracts as a locum doc, traveling to different states. I have seven licenses in 7 different states. So there's a lot going on. Right. And so what I realized I needed to do was, number one, take care of my mental health.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I got into therapy. You know, I know African-Americans are not big on therapy, but therapy works, y'all.
Absolutely.
Listening, it does. And I don't know where the stigma of therapy comes from in our community, but I knew I needed to get myself in a place where I was grounded and I was so clear on what I wanted to do and the people I wanted to help and, you know, like who I wanted my client to be and all of that, that I knew I needed to get grounded first, because then I would attract the people that I wanted to attract. So I did therapy. I did emotional intelligence training. I did manifestation, you know, mindfulness, gratitude practice, prayer, you know, just a holistic spiritual, you know, journey started for me where I really needed to feel like I was anchored and there was nothing that was going to shake me. So once I got to that point with myself, which took, you know, that was a journey, that was months of, you know, going through different training for 3 months, training for 4 months, therapy for, you know, like all those different things to get myself in order. But I was still, you know, parallel to that, I was still building the business and building me. But the other thing that really was helpful for me was having a business coach. And I'll be honest, I had to go through several to get to the one. And that's the thing. Sometimes when you're starting, you don't know the coach that's for you. So you may think the one you have is the one, but I went through, I think, let's see, my third coach was really the one that I felt truly understood me and everything that I needed to have lined up to get my business systems in place, processes in place, was really with him. you know.
Okay,
and I
so three was the charm.
Unfortunately, and thousands of dollars into it.
Right.
You know, because coaching is not cheap, you know. So
no.
I really got to that third coach and, you know, I started to, it started, the light bulb started to go off like, okay, he's doing this. He's a physician as well, right? He's doing this. He's running his GYN practice. He's raking in multiple millions of dollars doing coaching of other physicians. I mean, he's organized through God knows, oh my God, you know? And so I saw his way of doing it, and that's what I want my business to look like. You know,
okay.
I saw how, you know, how it could look when done right. And from there, then I got another coach to help me with media. So I had another coach who basically helped me with how do you position yourself in social media? How do you position yourself to get more TV, you know, segments? How do you position yourself, you know, to be seen as an expert in your field and to be mentioned in articles and all those things. So
I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah. So it was sort of an incremental, you know, process where I did one thing, I got a good amount of, you know, leverage from that. And then I did another thing and got some more leverage from that. And I realized, okay, I need to have a manager, you know, really bring all of this together because I can't do all of it by myself. So then I really started to build my IT, you know, people to, you know, someone to work with me on all my IT stuff. You know, actually I hired someone today, you know, to help me with, you know, with funnels. You know, that's my new thing now is creating funnels for my business. So it's easier to, you know, just basically attract new clients and send them down a path that leads them to, you know, either purchasing a service or purchasing a product that is automated, and I can do, it can happen while I'm asleep.
Absolutely.
Right?
These are some great, great, useful tips because it's, you know, actually the steps to do it. If anybody has any questions right now, because I know actually you've given us a lot of information, so I just want to take the opportunity to say if anybody has any questions or they have a comment, you can feel free to press one, and we can take a question now before we continue with our interview. And we're also going to end up taking a break sometime probably after this next question. So when we talk about reinventing ourselves, you really had some challenges along the way, not just transitioning your career, but also financial challenges and divorce. And you've talked a little bit about that. But is there anything else that you would like to say about how you overcame some of those challenges?
Financial for a second. So, you know, going through my divorce, we had two homes, and you know, so when we realized that we were going to basically have to deal with the assets that we had, the home, one of our homes was in New Jersey, where we had lived before moving, you know, to the DC area, and we were renting it out, and it was at that time where the market was horrible, so we bought the house. We bought the house for like $410,000, and when we were ready to sell it, it was only worth $290,000.
Wow.
And the market was horrible. This is like like around 2011, 2012, around there. And so basically both of the homes were in my name, you know, just for the way we bought the homes. They said, you know, credit-wise and all of that, with my income and everything and my credit score, it would behoove us to put both of the homes in my name to get a better interest rate and all of those things. So that's what we did. And so we're going through the divorce. We want to sell the house. The house, both are in my name. And I go to sell the house, and obviously I can't sell it for what we owe because it's underwater.
Right.
It's worth way less than what we owe on it. And the bank says, well, the only way you can do this is to do a short sale.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You do the short sale, you sell it for what it's worth at that time, instead of what you owe on it. But the only way you can do that is by not paying for 3 months, the only way you qualify. And so for 3 months,
right.
I had to not, even though I could afford to pay for it, to pay the mortgage, but
right.
the only way you can do a short sale is not to pay. So I did the 3 months of not paying, and my credit score went from 810 to 590 in 3 months.
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge dip.
Yes. That's a huge dip. And so that was one of the things I had to build back up, you know, from selling that house. We did sell it, but I took a huge hit on my credit, and I couldn't buy a home for myself after the divorce because my credit was hit. So I had to build for several years, you know, continuing to work, continuing to, you know, build my income, continuing to build other way in other ways until my credit got back into the mid 700s, you know, like higher up. And then, as you know, I bought the house I'm in now last September.
Yay.
And now I yes, yes. You
yes.
know, now I'm in a home again. But, you know, for the longest, I couldn't buy a home because of that challenge. So
yeah.
that's just one of the things that I had to overcome as well, is the financial stressors of the divorce. You know, and I mean, we're great co-parents at this point. My ex-husband and I have a really good, cordial, respectful relationship raising our children. And thank God we, you know, we're good in that area. But that was one of
That's
the
great.
Things leading, you know, yes, that I had to really push through to get, you know, to get to this place now. So I think, you know, it's good for people to know that as well, because it's, people just see the end result. They see you on social
mm-hmm.
media, they see you on Facebook, they see you on whatever, and you're doing amazing things. And yes, that's great, but there's a lot going on in the background that many of us are going through, and we're pushing and inching through those challenges as well. We don't go out and make it
Absolutely.
Public every day, because what good is that?
Right, right.
You know? But know that even though we are out there, it looks great that we're, you know, doing all of the great things that we're doing, we have our challenges as well, and we're pushing through those too, you know. And I share some of my challenges with the people I coach, because I want them to know, look, this is not all, you know, flowery and peachy, you know, but you have to have a mindset that, look, this is where it is right now. This is how I'm going to deal with it and handle it. But my eyes are still on the prize. My eyes are still on my goals. My eyes are still on the things I know I'm on this planet to do. That doesn't
Absolutely.
Change. I don't care what life throws at me. I'm bulldozing through it. And, you know, I will figure out how to get it done. But, you know, nothing is dimming this light of mine.
And I think just listening to you speak, that it's pretty easy to see why you're such a phenomenal coach and fitness expert. And we're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, we will continue this conversation.
The darkness gives way to the dawn. You survived, now your moment has arrived. Now your dream has finally been born. Fly, fly, set the sky on fire. Rise your faith was a shoe as the stars. Now you're free, and the world has come to see just how proud and beautiful you are.
Callers that would like to make a comment or ask a question, just press 1 on your phone and we can take calls now. So one of the things that I also wanted to ask you, Diana, is your bio talks about developing a fitness mindset so you can feel sexy, strong, confident, and youthful again. So on SOAR, we focus a lot on mindset. So this one definitely jumped out at me. So tell me what the fitness mindset is.
Great question. Okay, so the fitness mindset is, actually this is the first thing I do with anyone I coach. We first talk about mindset, and we do a mindset mastery module of just training in mindset. Before we pick up a weight, mm-hmm. before we pick up... You know, anything else, I want to talk about what they're thinking, how they're thinking, how do they see themselves, because every action starts with a thought, right? Everything we
Absolutely.
Do, we first think it before we do it. We think it before we do it. So if you're thinking the right things, then your actions will follow suit. You know, if you're thinking the mm-hmm. wrong things, your actions will follow suit too. So
absolutely.
The fitness mindset, yes. So the fitness mindset is looking at fitness in a way that benefits you. So a lot of people, when they think of losing weight, when they think about exercise, when they think about strength training and, you know, healthy eating and all of the things that really go into a fit lifestyle, it sounds difficult. It sounds hard. It mm-hmm. sounds, oh my God,
yeah.
it's something I need. I'm not ready for all of this change. You know?
Right.
But then when you switch to, this is the way I get to nourish my body with food that is nutritious, delicious, and, you know, fuels my body and gives me the energy I need to get through my workouts. This is the, you know, way that I lose the 20 pounds around my midsection and my back and, you know, my thighs or wherever it is that your trouble spots are. This is how I tone my legs. This is what I need to do, you know, to lose this baby weight. You know, this is what I need to do to reduce my cholesterol because I have a family history of heart disease. Or I have a family history of stroke. This is what I have to do, or I get to do. You can even change the language. You know, you can even change the language. Yeah. I get to create a new lifestyle that allows me to manage my blood glucose better, that allows me to, you know, reduce the fatigue and the chronic perpetual, you know, just drained, overwhelmed feeling I have. You know, this is what I get to do is change all of these things. And you start to look at the movements you're going to be doing, the exercises you're going to be doing, the self-care practices you're going to be doing as a way to get to the end, you know, to get to your goal. So you start thinking of it as, you know, me changing the things that I'm going to be changing are ways to get the life I want, to get the confidence
Absolutely.
I want. Right? So you look at it as a solution to your problem. That's the mindset that switches you from being in that negative, you know, self-talk being, and you're, you know, you're kind of going through this vicious cycle of you say you're going to do something, you don't do it, and then you self-berate because you didn't do it, and you did, and then you eat something to comfort yourself, you know, and what you're eating is most likely
and it's just
not
a
healthy.
Cycle.
Yes, and you just go down this spiral. So when you change the way you think about the transformation you're going to have, and you will have it, it's a definite. You know, you will have the transformation if you do the things that are lined out for you. And then there's this other talk about, oh, it won't happen for me. What makes you so special that it won't happen for you?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You're the only one.
It's just that mentality of, you know, playing small. And so I get people out of that. Like, look, everything you deserve to have, you can have. You know, we go through manifestation, you know, we go through affirmations, we go through all of the stuff that they need to do. And I still do this stuff for myself. Oath of manifestation, I read. Yes, to myself, I have affirmations. You know, I play at night when I go to sleep and just let it play so I can hear it, you know, and it goes to your subconscious. You know, so there are so many things that you can do to train and unlearn so much of what society has taught us is what we should be doing. You know, that's not serving us at all, you know. So instead of being in that mindset of being small, oh, I can't do this. Yo, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to be fat, or I'm just going to, you know, diabetes running my family, throw your hands up in the air, and I'm just going to be a diabetic. No, you don't have to be a diabetic, you know, and just teaching people another way of thinking of how to live and how to be, you know, just in general, how to be, period.
Yeah,
you know,
I think sometimes
that's what the mindset is.
I think sometimes people are just shocked that it could be that simple. Because if you think about it, when you tell people that, yes, if you change your mind, you can change your feelings, you can change your actions, you can change your life, it seems almost too simplistic. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it is changing all of these unlearning all of the stuff you've learned up to that point, all of the stories that you've told yourself, and bringing it from your subconscious to your conscious. So it is work. It's not easy, but it's simplistic in the fact that, you know, we know how to do it. We have a formula for it. So I love how you just express that.
Yes. And then just also knowing that you get to make this change. I'm not doing it. You're the one doing it. I'm coaching you through it. But the beautiful thing is you are doing it for you. And how incredible mm-hmm. is that feeling to know that you did that? You know, and
yeah.
look at your progression and look at where you were, you know, several months ago and the thinking you were in and the, you know, the way of being was, you know, basically self-beration, you know, negative talk, you know, just kind of going day to day to day, chronically fatigued, you know, have
mm-hmm.
no energy to do anything useful, you know, and just in a rut and stuck. And
yeah,
to go from that and basically changing certain things about the way you see yourself and then doing some steps that, you know, you're totally capable of doing, but maybe just haven't had the courage to do or
mm-hmm.
believing that it could happen for you. And
mm-hmm.
my thing is, look, I am a motivator, if nothing else.
Yes, you are.
I will
you
motivate
are a
you into doing it and really showing you that it's possible for you. You know,
yeah.
and that the thing is,
yeah.
you start where you are. You start where you are. Be grateful for where you are, because there are people. I'm an ER doctor. I'm putting people on life support on the regular.
Mm, yes.
So I remind people, look, you could be that person on that ventilator, but you're not. You need to praise God for that, first of all. Right?
Absolutely.
And show some gratitude for the fact that you have your faculties, the fact that you can get up every day and you're able to move in the world freely. You can go and do a walk at the park. You can do exercises at home. You know what I mean? You're not paralyzed laying in bed all day. So do you
Absolutely.
Really have something to complain about?
Yeah. Gratitude
really have
is
something to complain about.
Yeah, that's a great place to start from when you're trying to shift negative thoughts. It's just that place of gratitude, just being grateful for where you are. So I'm just
yeah.
so motivated and inspired by everything that you're saying. And I want to make sure that I ask this question. What services do you offer? Like what does your business consist of? What do you help people to do?
Okay, so I have a one-on-one coaching, fitness and weight loss coaching program. Actually, I'm starting next round of it on the 27th of this month. And so
okay.
I actually have a sale going on right now. So people who want to join the program will need to set up an appointment with me because I want to make sure the people that are enrolling are the right fit. So I don't just allow
mm-hmm.
people to just go on their own. So we have a conversation. I find out what they need help with and I, you know, to make sure that I can actually help them and make sure that
right.
they are the right person that I would want to work with too, that are not going to just sign up and then not do the work. So, you know, I have a conversation to make sure it's a good fit on both sides before enrolling them. And so people who are interested in the 12-week program can go to my Facebook page. I have a website as well, but the Facebook page has the place to make your appointment, to book your appointment. It's right on the main page there, and it's Dr. Di
okay.
Fit Life. It's DrDiFitLife. And so if you go to Dr. Di Fit Life on my Facebook page, it's my public fitness page. If they go to that, Dr. Di Fit Life, they'll see the little box there to make an appointment with me for both menopause and fitness. So the 12-week coaching program is for fitness and weight loss. And then the other services I have, I am launching on August 3rd, a monthly workout portal that people can join to do live
Great.
Workouts with me. So, as you know, I love doing live workouts.
Yeah.
So basically, we'll be doing weekly live workouts in that group. It's going to be a private fitness community called Fit Boss Lifestyle, launching on August 3rd. So people can basically
Exciting.
join the community. It's a monthly membership, a paid membership community where you pay to be there, and we'll be doing live workouts every week, and I'll be coming in and, you know, doing fitness and wellness topics, live streaming fitness and wellness topic weekly as well. So people will be able to actually, this week I will be putting out the link for that, so people can actually start registering to be a part of that community. And then the third thing that the third service I'm providing is menopause wellness. So a lot of my clients are in the perimenopausal and menopausal age range. That's just who I attract. I'm 45 years old, and so, you know, I'm perimenopausal, and a lot of the women I coach are kind of in that late 30s to mid, you know, 50s, 60s range. And actually, I have a client who was in her late 30s when she went into menopause. So, you know, menopause, it's not just older women. It's a spectrum. I mean, 38, 39 is very early, but there are few women who are seeing those symptoms as early as late 30s. So what I do with those women is I basically help them relieve the menopausal symptoms. And I prescribe bioidentical hormones that are based in an organic oil, and it's topical, so they put it on. And so women who are struggling with hot flashes, vaginal dryness, you know, decreased sexual drive, belly fat, because in menopause, a lot of women would gain a lot of adipose tissue in their midsection. So some of them are coming to me for fitness, and then I'm realizing, look, we can do the fitness stuff, but we have to do this menopause thing too, because without fixing that, your hormones are not balanced. It's going to just be more difficult for you to reach your goals. So some of those women, they're having cognitive fog, like this mental fog. They're having incredible dryness of their skin. You know, like there's just so many menopausal symptoms that sometimes people don't even realize are menopausal symptoms. And so I help those women with their menopause wellness and getting them back in, you know, getting their hormones back in order. I do hormone measurements as well. So we do 24-hour urine to make sure that, you know, whatever they're taking, they're actually absorbing, and that their hormones are actually being corrected. And then I help them. Most of them end up working with me for fitness as well. So it just blends, you know, and it just works. And so those are the services that I offer right now.
So as you were talking about the services you offer for menopause, that's great, because you don't want to be kind of working against yourself. So a lot of times when you're going through menopause, it becomes more difficult to lose fat and build the amount of muscle that you want. And you're having the menopausal symptoms that may affect your energy level of trying to work out and do strength training. So that's like the perfect marriage, being able to have those things dealt with. And then that just kind of helps you along your fitness journey as well. So that is awesome.
This was all selfish, by the way, because I started having symptoms. I was like, look, I need to figure out how to handle this. And so my, you know, me getting certified in doing this was really for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
it starts there
out.
A lot for all
like,
of us, right?
Yes. And I thought, look, this is great, because as I am doing this for me and seeing that it works really well, there are hundreds of thousands of women out there who would benefit from this. So that's how I actually added it. Because I just realized that, look, if I'm looking for this, I'm sure many other women are looking for it as well.
Absolutely. I wanted to also ask you, as we're wrapping up, what would be some words of wisdom that you would like to leave with our audience about reinventing ourselves?
It's never too late. It's never too late to start. I would say that's the first thing, and I've got a couple more, but it's never too late to start. So if it's something you're considering, jump in. Both feet.
Yes.
Don't be on the fence traveling. You know, jump in. I mean, obviously you want to make sure that you look at the risks, the benefits, you know, and all of those things when you're making major decisions, but it's never too late to reinvent yourself. It's never too late to be the person you know you're meant to be on this planet. You know what that is for you.
Yes.
And if you have
Absolutely.
Not manifested that yet, you know, this is your time. You've heard everything you needed to hear. This is your time
mm-hmm.
to do it. And the other thing I would say is we are so much stronger physically, emotionally, and spiritually than we give ourselves credit for.
I love that. That is really, really powerful.
Yeah, we really are. And I think a lot of times someone needs to tell us, look, you are worthy of everything you deserve. Someone needs to remind us, you know, you're worthy of being sexy. You're worthy of being fit. You're worthy of being healthy. You're worthy of being a badass. You're worthy of being strong. You're worthy of all of it. Everything that your heart desires, you're worthy of it and deserving of it.
Absolutely.
And when you accept that, that you are worthy of it and you deserve it, then attaining it becomes that much more, you know, it just becomes easier because you're not fighting yourself against the thought of having it. Now you know that it's yours.
Yeah.
Go claim it, go get it, and own it. That's what I have to
say. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful closing. Yes, you are worthy of being fit, being sexy, feeling healthy, you're worthy of all of it. And the only thing I would add is to say you are worthy of love. Absolutely. And one of the ways that you show yourself love is by embracing all of the things you know you were created to do and to be. So I just want to thank you for listening, and I just want to thank you, Dr. Dye, for joining me. And if anybody needs to reach me, you can reach me on Facebook at Stephanie Brown Coaching or on my website, which is www.stephaniebrowncoaching.com. Have a wonderful evening. And remember, you are worthy.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Dr. Stephanie.
Yes. Oh, good night.
Good night, guys.